Station number 14975, William Rochester, Reel 15.
Mr. Rochester, Reel 15. Which unit were you joining on the South Coast?
Well, it wasn't the South Coast, actually. It was the East Coast. It was the 11th Battalion on the East Coast. It was South something, South Hall or South Moor or something on the coast. But we weren't there very long. A few weeks there, and then we moved to Thetford.
Had you any notions at this time that this was going to be an active unit where you're going to go?
No, none at all. No.
Were you replacing someone?
Yes, I was. It was about April, I think, when I went there.
What year was that?
April 44. And the war was well on then, and there'd been a lot of talk about landings and all this kind of thing. So we were built up for it, and we had to do what we could. I joined the 11th Battalion, and there was a sergeant major there who didn't really have a company. He was a territorial sergeant major, and he was waiting for me coming down because the battalion only had two companies, and then a machine gun company, and they wanted an extra infantry company. Well, they said, what was the reason they've given it to this sergeant major who was leaving? He was going back to the pits. He was a miner, belonged to Sunderland. I can't remember him, but he was going back to the pits, and they wanted the new sergeant major to take over when he come down straight away. Well, I got down there, and I thought, well, this is going to be great. I'm going to get a battalion, a company rather, made up from the rubbish that the other companies don't want. So we'll have to see what we can do. And that's what happened. I got drafts from all the companies, and I had 30-odd immatures, under 18s. They were given to me from the other companies, and I made inquiries about it, and I was told that they will not be going to France with you. So I said, oh, are we going to France? I said, well, I don't know, but we probably will. You know, he said something he shouldn't say, and we all knew that's where they were going, but we didn't know which part of France. So I thought, well, this is great. And we got a batches sent over. There was a few people there already in the company, and when we got there, I was there a week doing nothing. I saw the adjutant, I said, look, I want to see what's happening before I take over. He's not going yet for a fortnight. He had another fortnight, a week himself, then a week with me before he was going away. So I said, I want to go around and just have a look and talk and see what's going on. I want to see what the other battalion's like, let me fit in, see how I fit in. So I went around the other companies, sergeant majors, and some of them I knew quite well. I knew all the sergeant majors, they were all regulars. Our regular blokes, you see. Leadbeater was another one from over the far end. And Peter, now I can't think of his other name, Peter was another one I'd soldiered with before. They were all regular sergeant majors. And I just sorted around and looked at that. Then the first year, when he got all the men in, and that was it. Then when I took over off the week, I said, now it's your turn, you can have just a wander around if you like. So I got all the orderly sergeant, and I said, I want a scale A parade tomorrow morning.
Scale A parade is what?
Everybody. Everybody that's in this company. He said, what is a scale A parade, just like you did? And I was surprised that when I mentioned scale A parade on another battalion, what's that? He said that nobody knew. I mean, we regulars had to do that. So I said to the oily sergeant, well, it's every man that's on your list that you've got. He said, I haven't got a list. I said, but you should have a list of the names of everybody that's in your company and where they are. Oh, no, I haven't got that. I said, well, how do you know how many people we've got? She said, well, the quartermaster knows by the pay list. I said, well, oh, right. Anyhow, I want everybody that's in this company on parade tomorrow morning at 7:30. Everybody. Scale it. No matter where they are. He said, what about the employed? I said, everybody. If his name's on this company and he gets paid at this company, the quartermaster, in this company, I want him on parade tomorrow morning, and it's your job to get around and tell them. And by tomorrow morning, I'll have a sheet for you with the names that the colour sergeant's got, and then we can put on where they are and what they're doing and all that, and you keep that up to date. So I sat down for about 2 hours with the colour sergeant. I think he was sick as a pig. I made a complete list of everybody that was in the battalion, but it wasn't by platoons, it was by alphabetical list that he had for painmen, for peers, that you see. So the only sergeant had to rewrite it and put them in platoons. Put them in platoons and sections, at least. Or give a piece of paper to the squad sergeant, you know, the platoon sergeant, make him do it. Anyhow, I got all this done. I can't remember how many there was on it at the moment. So I give this to the lad in the next morning, the sergeant the next morning. Well, he come in, he said, the scale parade's ready for us. And right, I went outside, brought them all to attention. Asked the platoon sergeant mentioned his name as well. Answer for your platoon. Correct, sir. Next platoon, answer for your platoon. Correct, correct, correct. Everybody's correct. I said, that's fine. Stood them all at ease. Now I want everybody to answer their name when the orderly sergeant calls his name out. So the orderly sergeant started away in alphabetical order, calling the names out. There was 30-odd people missing. The platoon sergeant said, all answered for. So I got the platoon sergeants to come over, told the orderly sergeant, I said, you, off you go down there, look, for a while. And very quietly, I took them back, very quietly, and I chopped the ruddy goolies off them for answering correct when it's not correct. But he said, they've always been employed, you know, and this, that, and the other. I said, I wanted a scale A parade. And I told the orderly sergeant, I chased them away, I brought him back, and I choked his goolies off for not doing what I told him. He said, I couldn't get them. I said, that's rubbish. Rubbish. So I told him when he called out, anybody that didn't answer, that wasn't it, put a tick beside them. Just a little tick. So I got them, got that done. I dismissed them all, and then I said, before I dismissed them, I said, read part two orders tonight, everybody, read it. So I saw the early sergeant, and I said, you will find out where these people are, and go and see them today. You do nothing else but go and see these people, where they are, write down where they're employed, and tell them we're on parade tomorrow morning, at 7:30 here, and I want to scale a parade again tomorrow morning. It'll be on part two orders that is published by the orderly room. He said, oh, I said, that's part two orders. You know, that comes out, tells you what's happening in the battalion. It'll tell you that D Company's having a scale a parade at 7:30 tomorrow morning, and I want everybody here. So I went across to saw the adjutant. Told him what had happened. I said, I want to scale it tomorrow. I would like it on part two orders tonight, if you could. Oh, yes, no problem. So he put it on. He just laughed at me. He said, you're having a hell of a job, aren't you, Bill? I said, I have, lad. I said, he hadn't any list. He didn't have a list of names in the company or anything. The only sergeant. He said, that's typical. None of them have. I said, have you not done anything about it? He said, I've got quite plenty to do it. Look, how many bloody officers in here, but I haven't got up to this. Because we're a lot of young officers. They were all come to school, you know, the officer school and all that. And so the next morning, we checked up. I think we're about 8 or 9 short, missing. So I got to know where they were. I called the sergeant's mess employees out, told them that when they must look at my orders every day, come at the company office and see the part two, see the orders, my program, and if it's a scale A parade, you're on parade. And tell your boss you're on parade. All you don't need is for me to check you and do it. Then you can go to your jobs. Right? Now don't forget, CSM got the order room, and everybody that was employed and on parade, and I told them the same. When I want to scale A parade, you're on here. Never mind about your employment. There was, I don't know, four or five missing, and they were all in the officer's mess. So I went up to the RSM, saw the RSM. Tyler Thompson. That was it. See how they come sometimes. I couldn't think of them before. And he said, what's that? What's the matter, Bill? I said, I've had two lots of scale A parades, and I've had the orderly sergeant going around telling the employed people that a scale A parade says that they will be on parade. Now there's five employed in the officer's mess who are not on parade. And I'm going to the officer's mess now to see the sergeant in charge of the mess and tell them I want them on parade tomorrow morning. Because I'm having a scale A parade, suppose I go on for a fortnight. I'm having a scale A parade. He said, well, fair enough. I said, just letting you know, that's all. I'm not asking permission. I'm just letting you know what I'm doing. And I'm going in there, and you'll be five men short in the officer's mess, and I'll probably become the old plain hell. Right? So I went to the officer's mess. I saw the sergeant in the officer's mess. I said, who's your boss? And he mentioned a second lieutenant. They take turns, the same as in the sergeant's mess. So I said, excuse me, sir. You have five men employed here from my company, and two mornings I've had a scale A parade and they haven't been on parade, and they've been told to be on. Yes, but they're employed here. I said, I'm having a scale A parade tomorrow, sir, and I want them on parade. Oh, they can't do that. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I want them on parade, and if they're not on parade tomorrow, they'll never be on parade, they'll never be working in this mess again. And I'm not doing anything nasty or anything. I want them on parade when I met them on parade. They're employed at your place? Yes. But I want to see them every now and then when I want to scale their parade. Now, tomorrow morning, this is the third time, tomorrow morning, I want them outside my office on parade with the other ones tomorrow, or they will not be employed in the officer's mess the day after. Oh, well, we'll see about that. I said, very good, sir. Very good. So they went on parade the next morning, five of them. So I went up to the adjutant. He said, I want to interview the colonel. Told him what for. He said, what the hell you doing, Bill? I said, look, they're my men. It's April. You never know when the hell this landing's going to happen, and they're supposed to be soldiers. And I don't want them coming to me without any training. I want them on parade. All I wanted to see with them the last three times, but now I want them taken away from the officer's mess completely and give somebody else a chance. I want them to train for the next few weeks while I'm here. So I got them. And I had a scale of parade. Everybody that was employed in my company was off, and they were on parade every morning. And by God, didn't I get them some steak. I got on the platoon sergeants and I said, you work your sods to they missed an awful lot of training. They're not fit. I want them fit. I want physical training every morning, and I'll be there with them, doing it with them every morning. And everything on your program, so you're going to work like the devil. But you must have them. They're a fighting battalion, and they've been employed for months, never done any training at all, and this is not good enough.
What form did the training take?
First of all, we had to get them to take discipline. Then we had to give them a rifle and say, you've never had one of these in your hand for months. How long have you been employed in the officer's mess? Right,
and
use it.
And the whole company was doing this?
Huh?
It was the whole company,
company doing it? The whole company was doing this. Five platoons and all that. Going through the rifles. Well, I mean, the other lads were going through it, all right. They hadn't done it as much as they should have done, but these ones had the clue, some of them. They couldn't put a bolt in, some of them. You know, took a bolt out, they couldn't put it in. So they had to do that all the way through. And then I got permission to take them all on the range, march them out onto the range and shoot it. Then we went on to field firing range. And I took them back to 1,000 yards. And I promised them a extra day's leave if I could hit the 4-foot target from 1,000 yards. I mean, the target's about 18 inches black in the middle, you know. Somebody couldn't hit the 4-foot target. But one or two did, and I got extra. I did that all the way down, you know, and I got extra leave from the colonel. I promised them extra. I saw the adjutant, actually. So extra leave for that. But they did train, and they got stuck into it at the end, and we went right through that. Then the automatics. You had to take the automatics basically together, take them in pieces, put them together again. They had to go and fire them. They had to clean them and burn the hands on them, which, you know, they fire a magazine for it and then just go and pick it up. And I mean, they hadn't handled them. You know, they didn't know where to get hold of them, what to do with them. They would be no good. Could have been more dangerous than what the enemy was. So we had a good couple of, we had about 5 or 6 weeks, real good chasing round. And then after that, in May, we had a bit of a relax in May, and we had the sports there.
How many men were in your company?
About 160, 158, 160. That included the officers and all.
Do you remember the commanding officer of the company and the other officers?
Major Law was my company commander. Major Law. Now, that's the only one I can remember. I can see three officers, just like I can see you. But can I put in him?
What were they like? What quality?
Oh, they were quite good. They were quite good. They trained as well, mine. They volunteered. They volunteered to come in on the PT kit on the morning. They saw the notice up and passed it around. Major Law told me, he said, I'll not be able to come, you know, the first day we started the PT. I'll not be able to come the first day, Sam, but I'll certainly do my best the other one. I'll keep them clear. How long are you having them? I said, oh, fortnight, 3 weeks. Up at 7 just a half an hour, and I'll gradually build it up and go steady. I won't kill you or anything at all. But I was a fully trained PT instructor as well, you see, at the time. So we got them started off, and Major Law and the other officers never missed it. They were in the squads at the time.
The other NCOs in the company, do you recall any of those?
No, not really.
I should do.
There was one lad from Gateshead, a sergeant from Gateshead. He was very good. I've got his name written down somewhere. He got killed at Rory as well.
The quality of the company that you had, you know, what were they like, the men?
I think they were quite good, actually. They were quite good. But the trouble is they'd gone to slack. They hadn't had anybody to give them instructions, to give them orders. At the time, it was lackadaisical, you know. The machine gunners, their machine gunners. The platoon men, he was a platoon for his platoon. But he's not for his platoon, he's for his company, he's for the battalion. He's got to extend his knowledge with them. Some of them didn't even know what the machine gun was like. They'd seen one, but that was it. They couldn't even put a belt of ammunition in.
And they were very close now to an invasion situation.
Yeah, well, you're
saying is the training was behind the level it should have been.
Yes, right. I think so. That was my idea, right?
Did you do any training for landing at all? Landings?
Mm. The only training I was able to do was to pack the truck and unpack it.
You'd never done a landing invasion training?
No.
Because you weren't going to be an assault battalion anyway.
Well, we were in the assault. We were going in the first batch, 49 div. We're going in the first group to go. Whether this battalion would have been the first to land or not, I don't know. It might have been one of the other battalions in the division. I couldn't tell you. But a couple of days before D-Day, they took the 49 div out and put the 50 div in and dropped us back. So we didn't go in till the 11th of June. And the 50 Div went in on D-Day. They went in about four and a half miles up the coast west from the harbour, you know, where they put the harbour in.
It's surprising because taken out within just days of the invasion, I would have thought that the training would have been that you were invading, that you were going to be first on the beaches. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yet you hadn't been through that kind of invasion.
No, we hadn't. No. We hadn't been any jumping into water or anything like that at all.
The 11th Battalion had a rough time in 1940 when they were in France.
They did.
Were there any of those men left in the battalion?
One or two. One in my company, a sergeant. And he came to me one day, I can't remember his name, and he was a smashing bloke. And I believed everything he said. He came to me one day and he said, we're going to France. I said, oh, how do you know that? He said, well, everybody knows it.
Who was commanding the battalion?
The 14th, the 11th.
The 11th, yeah. What was he like?
The second in command. Damn, his name's gone already. He finished up as boss of the News of the World, and he's died recently as well.
What was Hanmer like?
He wasn't bad. He wasn't bad at all. I would say that I didn't think he was a strong colonel. Didn't think he was very strong.
Discipline-wise? When you say he's not strong?
Well, I don't think he comes under discipline, does he? He's got other people to do that. The company commander's the discipline man, first of all. We didn't have really much to do with Hamden at all, except that when we're down at Cheriton, that was the 11th Battalion as well. And
this was before Thetford or after?
I don't know. I think I couldn't tell you offhand. But the sergeant's mess was invited. This is where I joined them, I think. This is where I joined the 11th Battalion, because I landed down there. This is where we were going when we were in the train from up Northumberland, and we didn't have any papers. Ginger French had left them all. And then they were at the station, and the station master wanted us out the station because he was going to lock it up. And I said, well, we said, you know, we're not getting out till we get a truck, from the battalion. So we got the phone number, he gave us the number, we phoned, waiting for the truck coming. It was bucketing the rain outside, and he wanted us to go outside while he could shut up so he could go home. So we stopped in the station until the truck came and took us to that village that we just told you.
Cheriton.
To Cheriton. Now, I played rugby in India and so on, and I played rugby a little bit at the depot. And when we got down there, it was late. We went into the sergeant's mess, the two of us. We met the RSM. He's just died. He lives up in Newcastle. I mentioned his name before and I forgot his name now again. So we had a good night in the mess, because we knew 90% of the mess. You know, they're all old soldiers. We knew them. The sergeant majors and a lot of the senior sergeants and all of our soldiers were there before. And we're in there, and it was about 3 o'clock or something before we got to bed. And next thing I knew, I was tipped out of bed. The bed was tipped and I was out of it. And I think I woke up saying things I ought not to have said, like, and there's two officers standing there, and they said, oh, it's all right. He doesn't mean it. I said, what's the matter, sir? He said, you should have been up and dressed now. Come on, hurry up and get the truck's waiting for you. I said, where are we going? Oh, he said, got a rugby match on. You're on the team. I said, oh, no. So I had to get up and get some kit on, and get a wash and shave and get some kit on, and away. The truck was waiting for us. This would have been about 8 o'clock in the morning or something. So I got no breakfast that day. And we went away and we played rugby. I got on the truck and had the game of rugby. Got out of the truck and we went to the opposing side, and the officers, they were all going into the officers' mess. And then I found out that they were all officers playing rugby except me, and I was left on the truck. I said, oh, this is fine, this, isn't it? Me sitting outside here, and they're sitting there. I didn't know where the sergeant was. I didn't even know where I was, what battalion I was with, or what part of the country I was, or anything. Anyhow, Ian Bansal came out. Yeah, I've mentioned that name before, Bansal. He was a company, acting company commander, or one of the lieutenants at Eshwinnan. He was a great fella, Master. We had some great fun with him. He had his feet on the ground and shy, and we tried to bring him up a little bit. But and Tommy and I, and we had him to meal for meals for quite a bit. He was one of the officers that when they came in, we said, officers and sergeants, and me, Sergeant Major, and a couple of privates, when they came in the door, they took the coats off and hung them up in the corridor, and you're all the same down here, you put your ranks on when you go out, sort of style, you know. And down there, and Ian came out of the mess. And he said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I can't go in the mess. It's an officer's mess, I'm only one officer. Oh, I'll have to know something about that. So he went away. Then there's about three of them come out. I said, here, try these on. So they give me a little coat to try and put them on. I was a ruddy captain. And I said, hey, I'll get shot. You'll get shot, don't you? No, it's all right. We'll fix it up. As long as you've got the coat on for other people, you're all right. You're only going to have a drink and a sandwich. That's all. We're having a sandwich. So I fastened my coat. And I can't remember what we're like down here. Probably still in rugby kit. Same as the other ones, you know. And I had this coat on, and I fastened my coat on. I went in and had two or three sandwiches and a couple of drinks and up again. And that was a regular thing. Nine times out of ten, I was the only one that played. There was another sergeant major, Leadbeater. He played occasionally with me, you know, so that I'd do the same way to take us into the mess.
Can we go back to the battalion in the training situation? You mentioned how you had to pick up your own company, which was not too high a standard. What was your impression of the battalion as a whole, that it was well-trained or becoming well-trained?
Well, when we were at Thetford, we never saw any training, really. We didn't do a lot of training on the coast when we were down there. We did a lot of field firing, an awful lot of that stuff, field firing. But
field firing is what?
Going out on the ranges and firing at targets, going on the ranges and sticking artificial targets out, like a tree or something, you know, or giving fire orders onto a particular item that was in visible sight there, and then getting the sergeant or the corporal or whatever section or the platoon and looking through a rifle. You should take a tripod out, put the rifle on, aim the rifle at the target, and then get him to give the fire order to hit that target. And that's the only training I can remember ever doing.
You didn't do any tactical fire and movement, this kind of thing?
No. I think that was ancient for any kind of wartime. But it was actually done in Rory by two officers, by a captain and a lieutenant. We couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Weapons, the war is well in now. Had you been, or were you equipped with the latest weapons?
What was the latest weapon?
Well, the automatics that were coming through was against the the older.
Well,
how possibly?
Is it ready? Well, actually, I can't remember doing a lot of training at all. But the company itself was the company headquarters. And there we had signalers, wireless men, runners in there. We had about 12 or 14 people in the company headquarters, besides me and my runner, my bloke that was with me all the time. He followed me around wherever I went. In the platoons, you had three sections in each platoon. You had a couple of sections of rifles, and then you had an automatic, which was the ordinary automatic gun.
That's the Bren gun?
The Bren gun. Mm-hmm. That was it. That was our equipment. We did have hand grenades. We were able to carry and use the hand grenades. We did two lots of training, as far as I can remember, throwing the non-explosive hand grenade, you know, and then we had one session of actually throwing live grenades on the out on the field firing.
Were these still the old mills, or did you have this plastic 69 brigade?
No, they were the old mills. The old mills. The plastics were after we come back a bit too far, I think. That when it exploded, it shot a good distance back as well, and you had to get your head down. If you're throwing plastic ones, you had to get your head down quick. Well, we didn't have any plastic. We had the old mills, metal ones, there. And I'd come across the plastic ones on a course down London Vermonty, and that was all. And that's the equipment we had all the time. The only training we ever did anything at all was loading and unloading the truck, because that was important to us. And I used to do it at night as well.
How quick you could get on, how quick you'd get off.
And for a movement, I would count them out. I would get the company out and take the truck out the road, so nobody in a field, out the road somewhere. I'd say, right, down, we're sleeping. Now, when I blow my whistle, we've got to get up and be action as quick as possible. And you've all got your equipment down on the bottom. It's got to be on the truck. You know what's got to be on the truck. You've done it umpteen times. You're going to do it now in the dark. So let's see what we can do. Well, it wasn't dark. It was light. And we tried it out, and they weren't too bad. They could do it in the dark at night, in the middle of the night. We did that. We called them out and loaded their platoon trucks in the dark, in the blackout, in the dark.